More than enough. Bigger than the air that I breathe. I will cry out to Jesus. God is real. What do you think? For some of us today, God is real in this place. Maybe some of us have gathered today hoping God is real. Is there a big difference in God is real and hoping that God is real? It's a big difference in our reality. God is real. We don't come here today because we have to. We don't come here today because it's just something we do in our culture. We come here today for this reason. God's real. This is real. He's the real Jesus. He loves you. That's real. What do you think? It's reality. I'm going to talk about something today that I've always struggled with. It's going to sound weird that a preacher would always struggle with this, but it's a struggle, and I want to invite you to struggle. First of all, I've come to believe that God's real. I preach because God's real. His reality is reality. How many of y'all have come that far? His reality is reality. And so I'm going to challenge us today as we move together as a congregation. You know, one of the things, when God gets real in your life, you can't stay the same. How many realize you can't stay the same? You can't stay the same. See, here's what everybody wants. They want a God that'll take them to heaven like they are. Huh. That ain't going to happen because heaven's not like this place. God's going to take us to heaven as He has made us. And I know there's got to be a change. How many of y'all realize when you ask Jesus Christ in your life, there's a change that has occurred? You have been forgiven. How many of y'all know that's real? Forgiveness is real. Y'all have about five hands. Oh, good. We got some work to do today. You know, forgiveness is real. You see, if God is real, then His forgiveness is real. But you got to decide if you're going to take Him up on that. Or guess what? You have the absolute total freedom. Do it your way. You can think what you want to think. You can do what you want to do. You can live like you want to live. And there'll be an end result. Hell. And by the way, that'll occur before you get there. If I keep doing what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, just whatever I want to do, I do it because I feel like doing it or think like doing it, or with no regard to another reality, hell will be a part of my life. How many of y'all found that to just be true? Here's what I found. When I do it my way, I do not get God's results. Is that clear enough? And so guess what? I want to challenge us today to get real with God. And one of the ways we do that, we worship because God is real. Guess what? We relate to one another on the level because God is real. These are real relationships. How many of y'all realize that the people that are brothers and sisters to you in Jesus Christ, you're going to live with them forever? I mean, just look at your neighbor and go, "You got me forever." I mean, that's a long time. So we better start getting along with each other right now. What do you think? Because God is what? He's real. He's for real. He's for real. Now, guess what? If you're just kind of like coming out of the world, you're going, "Man, this guy's crazy. What do you mean God's real?" Do you realize that most of the people that surround you don't believe God's real? They believe He's a good idea. It's a nice philosophy. Good rabbi doing good deeds. Helps people out. Jesus doesn't cuss. You know, he's gentle. But is He real? And when God gets real, worship will get real. Relationships will get real. It's what you'll want to go do. You want to go work for some real things. You'll serve God. And you'll do something else. You'll pray. I don't think you pray till God gets real. Now, usually God gets real when we get messed up. How many of y'all found that to be the rhythm? I pray a lot harder after I've been to the doctor than if I'm just cruising through life that day, especially if the doctor got some bad news. You know what I'm talking about? The doctor got some bad news. Me and God are hooking up in the car on the way home, you know? "Hey! Did you hear what that dude said? Can God do more than you think He can do?" Well, let's look into His Word. Paul prayed, and so I got two questions today. And here's my struggling question. I believe God's a sovereign God. I believe God's the beginning, the end, the middle. He's the maintainer, the sustainer, the creator, the everything. I believe God's got it going on before we get it going on. Okay, how many of y'all are there? Then why pray? offering into the struggle? I ask myself that all the time. We used to sit up at seminary, and one of my seminary buddies, man, that he was kind of like me. He didn't belong there either. And we would say, why do we pray? God's going to do what He's going to do anyway. What's He need to hear from me for? Of course, he was a lot more intellectual. He was like, well, Harris, don't you think that the Spirit's already in motion and maybe this prayer thing? I said, but you know what I know? We got to pray. Because guess what? Prayer does not change God. It changes our reality. We pray so that we might know the reality of God. What do you think? And I finally figured that out because here's what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, His disciples asked Him, how do we pray, God? And He said, He started His prayer out like this. Our Father who art in heaven, how holy is Your name? And then He's got this line in there that I think is very important. Not my will be done, but may Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I pray so that my will be bent toward heaven. Because I don't know about you all, my will's not naturally toward heaven. I mean, what about the rest of you? If I'm left to my own will, I mess up. I don't naturally think heaven-like. Like, I first of all think about me. What about you all? And I generally try to be a good moral person, but I still think about me first. For instance, if you're in my way, I want to run over you because I'm late. I want my drink. I want my this. I want my that. I want my food. I want my kind of clothes. I want my stuff. Anybody else wired like that? Your first thought will be you. So then guess what I'm going to get? I'm going to get my will here on earth. You can get your way here on earth. It just leads to destruction. Now here's what's so sad. You will feel good while you are getting your way. How many of y'all like to get your way? How many of y'all create fights just so you can get your way? I do. I do. How many of y'all? Yeah. Elizabeth's looking surprised. You know that. How many? Because my will is not shaped toward heaven. Here's why I need to pray. So I might be shaped toward heaven. I want to encourage us today. If you believe God is real, then it's time for us as a church to get real in prayer. And we pray so that we might understand a different way. Paul understood this in Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14. And he gives us some reasons for prayer. Now, I'm going to encourage you. You need to pray all the time. I don't have a style to prayer. You pray in the way you pray. Now, here's what I know. God knows how to communicate to you. God's bigger than we are. He's bigger than the air we breathe. We just sang that. God has more mercy and justice and understanding than I do. You talk to God, He'll talk back. How many of you all found that to be true? You know, Lord have mercy. We've turned prayer into a mockery. We even got these prayer conferences. That's like going to a breathing conference. I hope none of you all have ever paid money to go to a breathing conference. If you have, come to the altar right now and be delivered of being dumb. Sometimes you just need to quit being dumb. Making effort, you know. Prayer is natural when God gets real. Play with that for a minute. Prayer is natural when God gets real. I'm going to check in with God. I'm going to listen to God. Paul had struggles and he had reality. He believed God to be real. And he said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I think first posture of prayer is important. We need to learn to kneel. We don't kneel enough. I think probably one of the reasons we don't pray a lot in our culture is because we got it figured out. Yeah? How many of y'all already got it figured out? How many of y'all know what needs to be done? How many of y'all even pray like this? God, this is my plan. Just need your signature. Isn't that really our prayer? How many of y'all did this when you were dating? God, I know this is the one. I just need you to secure her for me. Or I need you. But really, if we're going to pray to God, I need to listen to you because my first point is a submission point. I'm going to kneel before God. Look what Paul said. He knew who he was talking to. Whom from heaven ever name is derived. He says, I'm talking to the guy that named everything. How many of y'all talking to the guy that named everything? How many of y'all glad to know God named you? God knew you before you knew yourself. What do you think about that? How many of y'all glad to know God knew you were going to mess up before you messed up? How many of y'all glad to know that God's on the scene even when you don't feel like He's on the scene? How many of y'all glad to know about His mercy that He never lets go? He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches..." Oh, hold on. How many of y'all got a God that's full of glorious riches? You know why I need to pray? I got to tap into the glorious riches. How many of y'all got riches, but you don't have glorious riches? Come on, work with me. Give me a head nod or something. Come on, are you there? How many of y'all like stuff? Anybody here like stuff? I like stuff. I like stuff. I've liked stuff since I was a kid. I had a Christmas list a mile long. Why? I like stuff. Anybody else like stuff as a human? Apparently, a heck of a lot of people like stuff because they're making a lot of money selling stuff. So you have to like it to buy it so you can sell it. Hello? Is stuff bad? No. But you know what? Don't limit your riches. Some of us just got stuff. You can only get glorious riches in prayer. Why do you need to pray? You need to tap into heaven's system so you don't get caught up in this one. Because here's what I find. We live and we die. How many of y'all find that to be true? Anything I have a hold of is only for a moment. Anything. That includes family. Bam! Gone. One misdirection, one wrong turn, one bad plane ride, and it's gone. Now, I think once we come to the realization of the frailty of humanity, we will begin to see the glory of God. And God is constantly with us. And Paul said, "I kneel before you, and I'm going to pray that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit into your interbeing." What do you think about that? Now, check this out. How many of y'all need some glorious riches? Things you can't buy at Walmart. It sounds like a Dave Letterman top 10. Things you can't buy at Walmart. Love. You can't buy love. You cannot buy love. You know why sex sells in America? Because you can't buy love. You can buy sex, but you can't buy love. And sex isn't love. You can't buy love. Love must be given freely and received freely for it to be what? Love. You can't buy joy. How many of y'all know you can't buy joy? You can't buy joy. Now, you can buy happiness, but it just doesn't last long. I mean, think about it. We're the number one consumers of happy pills in America. Happy pills. We want to be happy. Everybody wants to be what? Happy. All of us in our 40s and over, we're supposed to be happy people. I mean, we grew up, we were supposed to make a lot of money, be happy, and life was supposed to be happy. What happened? Our riches are not glorious. I mean, we got people with two Jaguars, a big pool, a nice house, popping antidepressants to make it through the day. We got that from J.R. Ewing. Look at J.R. Ewing on Dallas. He was always messed up. He had all kinds of money. We should have got a clue. And Sue Ellen, she was freaking out all the time. Y'all remember these shows in the 80s that warped our minds? For you younger people, that's why your parents are messed up. And then we had Dynasty. You remember Dynasty with, Blake Carrington and his wife, She was like 70 and looked 30. It takes a lot of doctors to make that happen. And guess what happens to you? Even if you're 70 and you look like you're 30, you die looking good. And people really mean it when they walk by and go, "Whoa, they look good." See, our glorious riches can make us look good. They can make us happy for a minute, but our riches aren't glorious. His are glorious. Church, let me encourage you that one of the things we need to do is pray for one another that we might tap into the glorious riches of God that strengthen our inner being. I don't know about y'all, but I got a problem in my inner being. My inner being can get messed up. Anybody else got that problem? Now, my innermost being's okay, because the Spirit of God dwells in that. It's my inner being. It's that place where my thoughts and God's thoughts work together, called the soul. My soul can get messed up. I don't know about y'all, sometimes I have some bad thinking. Anybody else got that problem? How many of y'all had just some bad thoughts this week? Anybody have a bad thought this week? Anybody look across the room and go, man, I'd like to hit that person. I mean, you just thought it. Anybody have that thought? What amazed me is all the women that got their hands up. You vicious creatures. Look at here, huh? How many of y'all had an envious thought this week? You just got envious. Anybody get envious? Somebody walk by and go, I don't know why they... We start speaking in tongues when these things come out. Now, these are all empty. Anybody get jealous this week? Anybody have a jealous thought? How many of y'all had a jealous thought? How many of y'all walk by and go, how come that guy gets that kind of car? Probably because they went to school and actually made good grades and worked a long time. When I start thinking like that, I go, that's why they got that car. These thoughts choke our lives. Because I ask you a question, if God is real, I need to pray. And one of the reasons I need to pray, I need God's presence in my thinking. Because I don't think good all the time. For you English teachers, I don't think well. My thinking stinks at times. What about you? Especially in the innermost being. Y'all ever do this? Somebody say something to you? I wonder why they said that. I wonder what that's really about. Somebody say, I love you. Yeah, do they really love me or are they just trying to con me? I have these thoughts. And when I have these thoughts, it's because I'm not tapped into the glorious riches of who? God. And Paul said, I want you to pray. Now, guess what, church? I want us to start practicing this. Pray that everybody would be tapped into the riches of God. So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. What makes us happen in the church? I pray that you being rooted and established in love. What makes us happen in a church? Thank you, Max. Say a little louder.
Being established in love.
Being established in what? Y'all know that country song? You look so good. In love. You know? What happens in the song? Man's wife leaves him. She finds another man taking care of him. And he's the refrain of the song is, you look so good in love. You know what? So do you. And so does the church. We need to pray. We need to pray. If God is real. We need to pray that we would fall in love. How many of y'all just need to be loved? How many of y'all have seen people when they fall in love? What do they look like? Come on, talk to me a minute. Y'all look like you at the First Baptist Hillview Church. Well, talk to me a minute here. Well, let's talk about this. I'm talking about prayer. How many of y'all pray during the day? I'm talking about getting to a point of prayer and saying, God, you've got to strengthen my inner being. God, I want to tap into the reality of heaven. You know why we need to pray? Because God is real and we need to bring His reality to our situation. It's not so much me bringing my reality to God because God already knows my reality. It's for me to understand God's reality in my situation. So we got to watch how we pray. Most of the time when we pray, we're just giving God an earth report. God, you know, I lost a lot of money. What if God really answered truthfully? Wouldn't it just scare you? Yes, you did that because you were making a bad decision. What if he even said this? It was my will that you lost that money. Because you were so focused on that money, you were missing the true riches of life. Oh, I don't like it when he does that. Do you? Sometimes God does crazy things. According to what? Us. God says, when you pray, pray that His will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we're established and rooted in love, guess what? We're really stirring up heaven as we live life. Look at your neighbor and go, I need a little heaven. Come on. Tell him, come on, work with us a little bit. I need a little heaven. Come on, Blake, tell your mom, you need a little heaven. Come on, there you go. I need a little heaven. Y'all can talk. I need a little heaven. When you get around a follower of Jesus, there's a heaven represented. But I'm going to tell you what, heaven will not come off of you if you're not praying. And it definitely won't come out of you. Guess what will? Hell. How many of y'all found that hell comes easier than heaven? How many of you all found this? Hell's just natural. I can raise hell with no lesson. Nobody ever trained me. My mom and daddy never said, now this is how you raise hell. But let me tell you what, they raised some. Me. In fact, I had a license plate on my big four-wheel drive truck. It said this. The only hell my mama ever raised was me. It just came out of me. I just wanted to disturb things. I wanted to mess stuff up. I wanted to act up. Anybody got a child like that? Hang on. You probably got a preacher on the way. Stay with them, mama. Pray much. Because guess what? God's bending our will toward heaven. Does this make sense? You see, but if I don't stay in prayer, my will get in the way of His will. And the thing of prayer is, our Father who art in heaven, may your will be what? Done. So tap into these riches. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. Those are things that emerge from prayer. And they emerge out of us through prayer. And I want you to see this look. And I pray for you that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now here's what knowledge is. I think it's this way, but God's going to surpass what I think. How many of y'all know this? You only know what you know. You don't even know what you don't know. How many of you glad to know you don't even know what you don't know? So don't get too cocky. My knowledge is pretty limited. Watch this. I'll help you with knowledge. My college degrees and graduate degrees are already out of date. They're back in the 80s. I went to school before there was a cell phone. Prehistoric times. I went to college and never sent an email. I remember when a laptop computer was this big. I remember a rotary dial phone. Imagine somebody saying they remember party line. Sir, can you get... Don't you know people listened in on those things?
Yes, I did.
Huh?
Yes, I did.
It'd be rough you as a guy. You did what? Especially if it's your husband they's talking about. You know, it'd really be bad. Party lines cause some party problems. But you know what? How many of y'all been listening to God? You want to know how wide He is and how deep He is and how long, how far will He go? You got to pray to find out. Every day. Like it's life, because it is. All the saints. In fact, what if we as a church came together and said, you know what, our prayer for each other is every week I want you to know how wide God is in your life and how deep God is in your life and how far He will go with you. That's our prayer for each other. Because He said, pray with all the what? Saints. So if you're a believer, you ought to want maximum experience. Why pray? It maximizes my understanding of God. It gets me past my knowledge into His understanding. Pray constantly. Be rooted. And then look what He says. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. I want you to be full. Y'all ought to want me to be full. Together we ought to get what? Full. That was an 80s term for something else. Back in the 80s, everybody's getting full. And it wasn't a spirit. In fact, people would ask you at school, let's go get full. That meant Puff the Magic Dragon. But in church, we ought to say, we are full. And may the fullness of God come up in you, and may it come up in me, and may it come up in us together, so the world might know God. How many of y'all want each person in here to have the fullness of God? Man, you start living like that, you look and you say, Frank, I want you to know how wide God is and how deep God is and how long God is to the fullness. What if that started happening in a church? Wow. And as you start praying and God, guess what? God's going to respond even beyond what we ask. Now that'll just... This is where God tells us. I love you so much, I'm going to take you and I'm going to give you what you don't even know. You don't even know what to ask for. How many of y'all sometimes don't even know what to ask for? How many of y'all are married? It happens in that relationship, doesn't it? Sometimes I don't even know what to ask. I don't know what to say. And then immeasurably more than I can even ask for comes forth. It's this intimacy of passion that's rooted in love. And look what he says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. How many of y'all are glad that you got a God that can even do more than you ask for? Because here's what I want you to understand. Prayer's not magic. I hear a lot of Christians treating prayer like magic. Yeah. And then they get mad at God when he doesn't what? God doesn't do the trick for us. I've had people say, well, God's not real because I prayed for my 95-year-old grandparent not to die and they died. That's called the mercy of God. When all your body parts are falling off, guess what God says? Time to come home. And guess what that's called? Mercy. But we're so plugged into down here, we don't really believe that beyond here is better. We live in a culture that spends billions of dollars to live or mechanically live for 3 more days. Because we believe life is in the body and not the spirit. When life's in the spirit, guess what we say? Take me home, Father who art in heaven. Take me home. I've visited for a while, but now it's time to go where? Home. In fact, I'm not dying. I'm going to the house. How many of y'all going to the house? Well, the preacher at my funeral better not say I'm dead. I'm at the house. Come see me. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more. Look at that word. Immeasurably more than all we ask or can even what? Imagine. How many of y'all got a God that you can't even imagine what that God would do? Let me tell you some things he'll do. Do you realize God will put a marriage back together that's totally busted? How many of y'all got a God to do that? We just sang about it. How many of y'all got a God that can heal physically? Come on, I ask you, is God real? Can your God heal physically? Or is he limited to the medical expertise at this time? Which I'm going to blow y'all away. 21st century, right here, high tech, high scientific age. We still have encounters here at Hillview where the doctors go, I cannot explain this. Praise God that we still got a God where the doctors can't explain some things. Amen? When God gets real and we get real in prayer, imaginably more than we ask, and immeasurably more than we ask, will be reality. How many of y'all want to go there and start praying? Pray. Will God listen to my prayer? Yeah? But how many of y'all really want to see prayer activated? Will you listen to what God's got to say? It's different, isn't it, Kay? I love chatting with God. Don't you? God, you need to take care of this. You need to do that. I feel bad here. This is going on. That's going on. Da, 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 da. And guess what God tells me most of the time? Now, he only speaks to me like this. He would never speak to you like this. But he does say this to me. Shut up. And you know why he tells me that? He loves me. Because I can fuss. Any of y'all fuss? When my inner being is not in sync with prayer, and I can always tell when I don't pray enough because I'm fussing more. And when I'm praying, I don't fuss as much. One day I hope that I won't fuss at all. What I'm trying to get to is get past fussing and get into living. Because here's what happens. When I don't pray, guess what? I'll start looking at what's wrong instead of looking what is immeasurably more. Anybody got that problem? I found this: when I don't pray in my life, my arrogance, my pride, my rudeness, and my selfishness will be at high levels. Kind of like that little terrorist alert scale. I can go from, you know, an orange, severely high today. If I'm in prayer, I'm kind of safe. Because I'm really wanting to see the glory of heaven more than I am the glory of me. Now, why is all this done? So that God's glory might be known. If you really want to know the challenge of prayer, I need to pray so that God's glory might be really known. Because look what he says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. It tells us who's God. God's at work within you. Scripture tells you that. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. To him be the glory. You know why I need to pray? To him be the glory. How many of y'all realize this? And I'm not being morbid at all, and I'm not being depressive. But most of what you have done, nobody really cares about. How many of y'all have grown that far? They sell those plaques after you die, yard sale, 25 cents. I mean, it just blew me away one time. There were trophies sitting there, and I got to thinking, I was at this yard sale, and they had these trophies there. You know, somebody had worked hard to get that trophy. 25 cents. J.D. Shoulders, one of our deacons here at the church, he was a big basketball star in high school, and he tells this story in his testimony. He was one of the first guys to dunk a ball. Now, he's old like me, before cell phones, and he got a trophy for this big dunk thing. And he goes back to the high school he graduated from. And one of his buddies had become a teacher there, called him because they'd put his trophy in the trash can. They were throwing it away, cleaning out the... He said, I went and pulled it out of the trash. But he said, God spoke. Our trophies don't last what? You know what? God's never asked me how many people attend here. He's asked me how many people are loved here. To God be the glory. God's never asked me about the budget here. He's got enough money to take care of it. But he has asked me, are the people's lives moving toward me, Pastor? W.A. Criswell, pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. I got to hear him as a young man. Pastored there for over 50 years. White hair, white suit, and quite a character. Pastored probably the first mega church in America, First Baptist Dallas, in the heyday of W.A. Criswell, was over 30,000 members in Dallas, Texas. Criswell was doing a pastor's conference, and he reared back and he said, boys, it is about the glory of God. Three things you must steer away from. These are God's. It is God's glory and only His, not yours. It is God's gold, not yours. And those are God's girls, not yours. He called it the three G's of protection. He says, you stay out of the glory, you stay out of the gold, and you stay away from the girls, you'll retire faithful. Because guess what? God can do better than we can do. That's the whole point of praying. So I can learn that God can do a better job with my life than I think I can do with my life. Is this making sense today? So, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know what that means? This is going to happen. And we're going to pray. Now today, guess what? How many of y'all realize? How many of y'all answered the question? God's real. He either is or He isn't. This is not complicated. People want to make it complicated. He is either God or He is not God. Most of us in this place, notice I don't say all of us in this place because that would be incorrect. Most of us in this place believe God's real. And many in this place, this church, have decided to turn their lives over to God through Jesus Christ and join Him in a relationship. And so what are we actually doing? We are living our way, and what's our end result? Come on, church, work with me today. We're on our way to where? How many of y'all are on your way to heaven? Why not smile about it a little bit? It's not a bad deal. It's a lot better than being on your way to hell. Now, if you're on your way to hell, get you some depressants, antidepressants. You're going to need them. Get a bunch of them. Get a few drinks along the way, too. You need to be numb as possible. Because you know what? There's no glory there. There's no riches there. Hell is a place without God. And so hell is a place with no possibility to change.
I'm not going there.
Amen. I'm not going there. Sister, that'll preach, but I'm going to try to resist. That's a great sermon. I'm not going what? There. But guess what? Why do we need to pray? We need to pray so the glory of God might be revealed. We need to pray so that our will might be overridden by the power of God's glorious riches. And why do we need to pray? So that we might be surprised that God even knows better than us. In fact, God even knows how to give us the things we don't even know how to ask for. Immeasurably more than we can even imagine. So that slogan that Pastor Hale signs off with becomes reality. I can't believe I get to live this life. How many of y'all are living a faith like that? I can't believe I get to live this life. And one of my buddies, he just got remarried, and he's kind of had some marriage problems throughout his journey of life. But he really got, he's connected to Jesus now, and he believes God to be real, and he's had a true Jesus encounter. And he's having a second marriage that is out of this world, literally out of this world. It's really heaven-centered. And guess what? He called me and said, I can't believe this. Immeasurably more than we can even ask for. Is God real? Or are you hoping He's real? Can you imagine what a church in America would look like that really started praying that the reality of God be brought to the reality of earth in the name of Jesus? Why don't we be that church? In fact, I want to challenge you to something. Guess what? We need to wear this carpet out. It's been up here too long. And I checked with Pastor Mark, and he said that we have plenty of money, that if we wear the carpet out here from praying on it, he'll get us some new carpet. Y'all cool with that? In fact, I'd be glad to change that carpet about every 6 months. In fact, the most beautiful thing this offer could have on it is big old just knee hole prints all over it where the carpet's wore out, because you know what? That's what will make life happen. I'm going to challenge us to pray more. And I mean pray like during worship, man. If worship's going on and you want to pray, welcome to the altar. Come and pray. Pray together with all the saints. That's what it says in the book. Pray. God, go beyond me, please. That's my prayer. Every Monday, guess what I pray? God, do not let me lead this church this week. Because guess what I know? I'll mess y'all up. I promise. I have to pray this a lot. Every day. God, do not let the dark places of my life override the light that you have shed on them. Deeply rooted. Now I'm going to give you the truth. You better listen. Pretending things that have gone on in your life don't exist will never make them go away. But praying to God about those things, His glorious riches will touch them. Forgiveness, grace, mercy. New life. Glorious riches. Won't you come? Pray together today. And guess what? There's some folks here today who don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm so glad you're here today. What about it? You've got to answer this question. Is God real? Am I just hyping life? Or you believe it's real? Maybe today it's your time to step out and say, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. How many of y'all know you've just blown it in some places? Anybody here just blown it? Y'all ever just messed up? I mean, you just knew it was a mess up. Yeah, God's used to that. And He loves you. So why not today say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live. I want to know Your glorious riches. The first one's grace. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what?
Sin.
What's God going to do?
Forgive you.
Why? He loves you. He just does. No matter what you've done, He still what?
Loves you.
Maybe you're a follower of Jesus Christ that's wandered off the path. It's easy to do. But He's not gone. And when you wandered off, guess what? He wandered with you. People always ask me where God is in dark places. Most of the time I tell them to turn around. And guess who you'll bump into? Jesus. You say, will He fuss at me? If He does, it's because He loves you. He'll do what it takes to put you back on the path. Now for me, He has to thump my head. Because I don't listen well. For a lot of you, you just go, okay, Jesus, that's cool. And guess what? He blesses that so richly. Let God have His way with you. So today, if you need to ask Christ in your life, do it. Today, I'm going to ask you to come and pray that we kneel before God. Say, God, I want to be a part of Your glory. And I want everybody else up here that's praying with me to know Your fullness. I'm going to take Your word literally because today I believe You are what? Real. The reality of God. Let's stand. And come as I pray. We're going to pray together. But you come to the altar right now, especially if you need to receive Christ. You need to talk about baptism. But I want you to come and pray. Come here, do this at the altar here for a minute. Do your hands like this. Come on, y'all listen up, man. All right. Y'all get altar phobia. Okay? It's just the altar. I know some of you come out of traditional churches. As soon as somebody bends down at the altar, you wonder who they slept with that week. Let me help you. None of your business. It's God's business. And most of the people that end up getting buried by that are the ones in the pews worrying about who everybody else has been with. The altar's made for you and God to pray together and for us as believers to pray together. And so let's just come and pray together, okay? Lord, right now we want to open this time up. And we want to pray for those who need Jesus Christ in their life. And right now you would be encouraged to come and talk and receive Christ. And we pray for people that just need to come and pray. And Lord, I pray for those who feel trapped by darkness, that right now in the name of Jesus, light would begin to touch their soul. And Lord, I pray for those right now that feel unworthy, that Your glorious riches would just tap into them and You would remind them that You love them. And God, for those of us that think there's no hope, I pray right now a spirit of hopefulness in this place. And Father, for those who have given up, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they might try it one more time. God, You are real. Lord, would You make Yourself known at this altar so many will know that You're real in the name of Jesus. Now please come, church. You've heard a sermon on prayer. What would be the greatest way to honor that message? Come pray. School starts this week. Pray for that. Pray for teachers. Pray for kids. Pray for life. And let life unfold. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, let's pray together. Don't stand there today. Come on, just try it. See what would happen if you said, okay, you know, I'm going to step out and I'm not just going to stay in my seat one Sunday. See what happened. So I can pray in my seat. I know, but step out. You can pray stepping out too. See what happens. See what happens.